10 years ago, I began the Christmas series with these exact words. This season leading up to Christmas finds us living in troubling times. We face trillion-dollar deficits, worldwide recession, government bailouts of various institutions and industries. The moral fabric of our culture is coming apart at the seams, and people are losing their jobs, homes, and retirement savings. Now, am I reminding you of those words spoken 10 years ago to make you think that I'm a prophet? No, folks, we are a non-profit organization. The point I'm making is that there will always be trying times. In what many people consider to be the oldest book of the Bible, the book of Job, the main character, Job, said in Job 14, verse 1, "Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." The first Christmas occurred in the middle of trying times. Politically, Israel was under the oppressive thumb of the Roman Empire. Spiritually, the religious leaders of Israel were comprised of Pharisees and Sadducees, people whom Jesus called hypocrites. Into this political and religious mess, Jesus was born. In the midst of this world, Mary and Joseph lived. In fact, with the holy couple, Mary and Joseph, we discover two people and how to live in the midst of troubling times. And as we face our troubling times, it would be good to take note of how these two individuals went about their lives in troubling times. And so we learn this morning from Mary, when the unexpected comes, maintain a God focus. You see, it's normal to turn your focus inward when trouble comes. Rather than looking inward, we should look upward and have a God focus during trying times. And Mary gives us three actions whereby she demonstrates her God focus in her own troubling times. The passage we're looking at is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 55. And notice in 26 through 38, her first action was surrender to his plan. Surrender to his plan. Now in verse 38 of this passage, notice what Mary said. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What was it that the angel said that brought about such a wonderful declaration of trust from the Virgin Mary? Well, it was his declaration of truth. In verses 26 through 37, we see two truths that the angel gave to Mary that brought about from within her and out of her mouth such a declaration of trust. Notice, first of all, in verses 26 through 33, the angel declared to Mary that God's purpose will be fulfilled. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Notice the angel's declaration to Mary of God's purpose for her life. Gabriel reaffirmed God's promise 1,000 years earlier to David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, we see what's called the Davidic covenant, the Davidic promise of God to David. And notice what God said to David. "And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." House, kingdom, throne. Remember those three words. What did the angel promise to Mary? Verse 33. Verse 32. "And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." The child born to Mary was going to be the fulfillment of this promise God made to David 1,000 years earlier. God's purpose will be fulfilled. You see, folks, Mary is a part of the divine plan. You might be thinking, well, duh. She's the mother of Jesus. Of course, she's a part of the divine plan. You know something, friend? You are part of the divine plan. Ah, not little old me. Yeah, little old you. If you look in Luke chapter 3, the last portion of the chapter, you will see a genealogy of Jesus. Now you got the heavy hitters in this genealogy. David, because the Messiah is called the Son of David. Abraham, the first Jew. But if you read through this genealogy, you'll see that there are a whole bunch of names that you don't recognize. In fact, there are a lot of names in this genealogy that don't even ever appear in the Old Testament. But they were vital to the coming of Christ. Even though unmentioned in the rest of Scripture, they're mentioned in this genealogy. Let's just read a little bit of it, shall we? Look at... my eyes just fell upon verse 25. "The son of Mattathias, the son of Amos, the son of Nahum, the son of Esli, the son of Nagai, the son of Maath, the son of Mattathias, the son of Simeon, the son of Josech, the son of Jodah, the son of Johanan, the son of Resa, the son of Zerubbabel. Okay, Zerubbabel, we remember him from the book of Nehemiah. The son of Shealtiel, the son of Neri, the son of Melchi, the son of Adai, the son of Kosam. Do you get the idea? A whole bunch of those guys you never hear of. But yet they were vital to God's plan. Just like you. And just like me. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, the scripture says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory." Notice, folks, we were predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And so the angel revealed to Mary that God's purpose will be fulfilled in her life. The second truth that he revealed to her, we find in verses 34 through 37. "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son.'" We know that to be John the Baptist. "And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, here's her statement of faith, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The second truth the angel revealed to Mary is that God's power will fulfill his purpose. Think of it. What keeps you from fulfilling promises, perhaps, that you make to your kids, or promises that you make to any family member or anybody? It basically boils down to one of two things. Number one, unforeseen circumstances. Things happen. You can't take the kids to the park because you got called into work. Or a lack of ability. You just can't pull it off. Aren't you glad neither one of those two affect God? No. You messed up. Aren't you glad that neither one of those two affect God? Amen. There you go. Titus 1 verse 2 says, "We hope in God who cannot lie." Because unforeseen circumstances? Hello, he's omniscient. He knows everything. Not having the power to pull it off? Hey, he's omnipotent. He can do anything. And so God's power will fulfill his plan. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, the scripture says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Mary, after having this great declaration of truth, in verse 38, gives her great declaration of trust. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary declared that her trust was in God's word. I am a servant for his work. I am submissive to his will. Think about it, friends. What is Mary agreeing to here? She's agreeing to becoming an unwed mother. As far as the world's concerned, people would look at her. In fact, next week we'll even see that Joseph looked at her and said, "You've been unfaithful to me." She's agreeing to the misunderstanding and the whispers and the glances and the looks thrown her way, because she is depending on God as her defense. I love what Tony Evans says about faith. Faith is believing that God told the truth. That's what faith is, friends. Now, do you believe it or not? Do you believe God tells the truth or not? So God's word through the angel Gabriel led Mary to maintain a God focus. It was not, "What about me?" Rather, it was about God's purpose and God's power. But notice the second action on Mary's part. In verses 39 through 45, we see encouragement from his people. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the word spoken to her from the Lord." Do you see how important God's people are in your life? They will either affirm God's working in your life, or they will contradict it. Look at Elizabeth's example. She was a living testimony of what the angel told Mary just a couple of verses earlier. Verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Here is Elizabeth in her old age, well beyond the years of childbearing, but now she's with child. Mary receives encouragement from her example. But she also received encouragement from her exhortation in verses 41 through 45, declaring how the baby leaped in her womb and how she was the mother of her Lord. An encouraging believer. Christian, see one, be one. Be an encourager. And by the way, dear friends, looking online, sitting there in your pajamas, drinking your cup of coffee, you can't get that on a computer screen. You can't get the encouragement of brothers and sisters in Christ coming up to you and saying, man, you really look down today. What's the problem? Oh, this and this and that happened. Let me pray for you right now. How can I help you? How can I pray for you? Can't get that in your PJs. It only comes from being here, rubbing shoulders with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I know there are some shoulders you rub that are kind of scratchy. Okay? But the calming, soothing, encouraging shoulders, I believe, far outweigh the scratchy ones that rub you the wrong way. So, if you haven't been back since COVID, come on back. Receive encouragement from your brothers and sisters in Christ. But notice the third action we find with Mary that helps her maintain a God focus in the midst of these unexpected circumstances in her life. And that is worship. The worship of his person helps her keep a God focus. We see that in verses 45 through 55, 46 through 55. The Magnificat, as it's called. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Notice, Mary needed a Savior just like the rest of us do. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Mary says, right from the beginning, where the word Magnificat comes from, my soul magnifies the Lord. You know, when you magnify something, you use one of two instruments, don't you? In your science lab, you'll have a microscope that helps you see the invisible. Appreciate that nice little jingle. Break things up and for a lot of people, God's invisible. I don't know where God is. I've never seen God. Well, if you're living the life, people will see God in your life. Just like the little girl asked her mom after Sunday school, Mom, is it true that when we ask Jesus to be our Savior, he comes and lives in our hearts? Yes, honey, that's true. And isn't it true that Jesus is God? Yes, honey, that's also true. Well, if Jesus is God and he comes and lives in our hearts, shouldn't he stick out? Yes, he should. We magnify the Lord by making visible the invisible. But there's also another scientific instrument that magnifies And that's a telescope. With that telescope, we look through and we bring objects that are distant, that are far off, closer. And dear friend, for a lot of people in our world today, God is way far off. He's way distant. And it's up to us to bring him closer. You see, friends, worship puts life in proper perspective. It makes the invisible visible and makes the distant closer. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 declare, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth." Keep your life in proper perspective. When you face the unexpected, maintain a God focus. And as I said before, it is so easy to turn inward, to have yourself a little pity party. You know, where you invite your three best friends, me, myself, and I. And, oh, woe is me, life is so bad. You know, life is terrible. And then you die. You know, you turn inward. No, rather than turning inward, turn upward. Have your focus turned to God, realizing that God's got a plan and you're part of it. Realize that He will send encouraging people your way to help you through those unexpected times. And thirdly, give him the worship that he deserves. Dear lost friend, God may have sent you unexpected news this week, or brought an unexpected event into your life to drive you to him. Going your own way isn't working for you. Listen to the words of Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Dear friend, God seeks for you. If you've never trusted Christ as his Savior, call upon him. What does that last phrase say? "For he will abundantly pardon." Let's pray. Thank you, God in heaven, for your word. Thank you for this example of Mary, of what to do when we face the unexpected. Lord, help us, remind us to keep a God focus. Lord, help us not to fall for the lies of this world that would cause us to focus on ourselves or others. Lord, help us to follow your truth that looks to you. Thank you, Lord, that you are there. You are present. You are able to help. each and every one of us in our time of need. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.